Today we're going to be getting a new sermon series called Emmanuel. As we're in this Advent season, this waiting of the birth of Christ, there's this palpable and exciting energy as we approach the day of celebrating the birth of Jesus. Do you remember how you felt when you were highly anticipating something? Maybe it was a vacation or a trip that you saved up all year long, and today is finally the day that you're able to go on the trip. Or maybe for some in the room, they have related to a loved one, the anticipation of a loved one coming home from a deployment. Or maybe as we're in this season of Christmas, this perfect Christmas gift that you thought you were going to receive, that you knew that it was going to be under the tree, and you just couldn't wait until you were able to open it up. I remember my mom and dad are incredibly early shoppers. In fact, if you go to their house today, there is a tree already decorated, presents already wrapped and placed under the tree. Like, they are done shopping already. And as an adult, I'm actually pretty impressed with that. Like, they don't have to worry about the craziness as we get closer to Christmas, but they are completely done. But as a child, it was pretty infuriating. Like, you mean to tell me I have to sit for a whole month in the same room as my, like, I know my name is on it. I have to sit for a whole month waiting. The anticipation grows day after day. And my parents are here today, and I don't want to incriminate myself, but there might be times where when they were on errands, did the weight test, see how heavy a gift might be. Or maybe the shaking test of, like, is this breakable or not? And again, I don't want to incriminate myself, but there might have been a time where we used a nail file to pop open the tape just to see what the name of the box inside, and then quickly wrap. I don't want to incriminate myself, but that might have happened. See, this anticipation of something valuable, something incredible is where we begin our time in the Word today in Matthew 1, 18 through 25. And so if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to go ahead and turn there. And as you're turning, it reads this way. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. He will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to make a couple observations before we dive in this morning. And the first is that we see this account from the perspective of Joseph. In Luke, we see the perspective of Mary, but today we see this account of the birth of Jesus, or the dream of the angel of the Lord foretelling the birth of Christ through the lens of Joseph. And we know that Joseph is a just man. And not only is he a just man, but he is a good man. We see this in the way that he was handling this news of Mary already being with child. See, it would be lawful for him to separate from her legally, but instead of wanting to put her to shame, he was a good man and wanting to do it quietly. This shows that he has the heart, a tender heart to hear from the Lord, a tender heart of not wanting to put Mary to shame, but just separate, do it quietly. The second thing I want to bring our attention to is that in this first chapter of Matthew, we see that Matthew elevates the Old Testament. And in fact, Matthew quotes the Old Testament more than any other gospel. The first part of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, it goes through the lineage of Israel. It goes through from generation to generation, a history lesson, so to say, of the families of Israel. It is in the context of the Old Testament that the birth of Jesus is placed. See, Matthew was written to Jews with the understanding that the reader would know Jewish customs and their traditions. But it was not just the Jews as a whole. It was a specific type in that Matthew has a larger purpose where it summons the Jews who believed in Jesus to take the message of Christ to the Gentiles. And so this brings us to our first point today. As the Old Testament is lying to the birth of Christ, it is this anticipation of who is this promised Messiah. We have a great anticipation. Throughout the whole Old Testament, we see the Lord is present with his people, with Israel, but it was never been this personal. Like we just talked about in Hebrews, where there are signs and shadows, there has never been this moment where God has come, his presence has dwelt with his people in such a personal example as in the birth of Jesus. It's in the context of the Old Testament where we hear the birth, hear of the birth of Christ. See, we see examples in the Old Testament of the burning bush, but that was only his voice. We see examples of God's presence with his people on Mount Sinai, but it was only his shadow. On Mount Carmel, it was through the presence of fire. And even in the temple, his spirit would hover in between the two cherubim. But now this encounter that we read in Matthew is different. This miraculous birth of this baby boy signifies that God, that the great I am, is no longer a sign or a shadow, but is in flesh and blood dwelling with his people. And as it continues to read in verse 22, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, in his presence, God has come to dwell with his people. And it's important to see this in the context of the Old Testament because Jesus fulfills every theme that we find in the Old Testament. He fulfills the law by explaining it perfectly or with precision and demonstrating it perfectly. He fulfills the prophets because every Old Testament prophet who prophesied about the salvation and the restoration of God's people is completed through the person of Christ. And he completes the temple. Instead of the shadow, or instead of the spirit hovering in between the cherubim, it is his presence with his people. This is the promise that's fulfilled in Genesis 12 when God tells Abraham that all of the families of the earth will be blessed through your family. It was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ, that through Jesus, all of the families of the earth will be blessed. See, this birth is a sign that in this baby is the Son of God, the mediator between God and man, God incarnate among us, and so we are can be reconcilable to God so that we can be at peace with him. He has taken us into a covenant relationship, and we are able to commune with him. Matthew shows that all of the hope, all the anticipation, all of this bubble that's waiting to burst is revealed in the birth of this baby boy, Jesus. He is the son of Abraham, the son of David. And through Jesus, God fulfills his promise to Israel that all of the families of the earth will be blessed. So this brings to a second point of today in that there's hope that is found in the name. And I realize a lot of times when I teach or preach, I like to go through the meanings of the names because I think that they're so important and valuable for us to understand. When we read this account, we see two names that this baby should be known by, and that name is Emmanuel and Jesus. And Emmanuel means God with us. The writer, Matthew, even thought that it would be wise to point out that Emmanuel for his readers who might not have understood Hebrew, to be known as God with us. But Jesus means Yahweh saves, or the Lord saves. See, oftentimes, and this is why I think it's really important for us to understand the meanings of these names, is that the purpose, the Lord uses names to reveal the purpose of this that individual. For Jesus' purpose, as we read in Matthew, is to save his people from their sins. It's to be the literal definition of Yahweh saves. That Jesus came to save, to restore all that which was lost. And God ensures the fulfillment of Isaiah 7, where the virgin shall conceive and he will be known as Emmanuel. The very makeup of Emmanuel spells out God with man, or God with us. This is a promise that is connected to Jesus' name, that he is and forever will be with us, and that he is and forever will be the God who saves. He will forever be Emmanuel, and he will forever be Jesus. I love my wife's name. She has a beautiful Nigerian name, and for most of you, you might not realize, she only goes by the last four letters of her name in Lola. But her full name, her full Nigerian name, is Oluwa Funmilola. And it's beautiful, and I know it's a mouthful. It's beautiful, though, because in the meaning, it means God gives me wealth, favor, and abundance. And I know for me, she has given me an incredible wealth, favor, and abundance. And I know that she has been the same for Dayo and Joy. And as like, I love her name, the meaning of her name so much that I thought it would be kind of cool. Like my name's in the Bible, like Philip's in the Bible. So Philip should have a pretty cool meaning too, right? And so I looked it up. I actually had to look up multiple books because I didn't like what I first saw. But all the books that I read to find out what the meaning of Philip is that Philip means lover of horses. So I'll let you guys decide who has the better meaning, Lola or myself, and I would not be heartbroken if you chose her. But see, in the meaning of these names, of Emmanuel and Jesus, Matthew introduces a theme of God's presence with his people through that very definition. At the beginning of this account, we see that God is with us. But if we turn all the way back to the end of Matthew, the end where after Jesus has risen from the grave, he ascends with our final commandment, he says, I will be with you always. In the incarnation, we learn that Jesus is Emmanuel for the purpose to save his people. And at the very end, before he ascends, God commands his apostles to disciple the nations, promising the power for the task and declaring, I will be with you always. I will be with you to the end of the age. See, in this invitation of I am with you, there's also this challenge of, at the very beginning of for salvation, of repenting and believing. And at the end, I am with you. And there's this challenge to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, joining Jesus on his mission and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're called to teach them to observe all that he has commanded us. And again, we see this promise, I will be with you always. I will be with you to the end of the age. See, there's a promise in these names. There's a promise in Emmanuel that I will always be with you. And there's a promise in Jesus in that he has the power to save, and he wants to save, and he's calling us, for those who don't know Jesus as their Savior, to be saved. And for those who do know Jesus as their Savior, he's calling us to join him on that mission of making disciples of all nations. We can trust that Jesus is true to his name and true to his promise. In fact, many times in Scripture, we see God act for the purpose of his namesake. For my namesake, I would do this or that. Jesus means Yahweh saves. And before we can have Jesus, before we can have salvation, we have to have Emmanuel. We have to have the presence of the Lord with us. So this leads us to our last point of today, with the courage to embrace. Verse 24, when Joseph woke from his sleep, He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. See, Joseph receives a message from the Lord, and through a dream, marching orders, so to say, to usher in the Messiah. And I don't know about you, but there's many times where I read in Scripture and I see that the Lord or the angel of the Lord commands one thing or another, and all we hear afterwards, and the person did as the Lord commanded, or they did what was pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. And sometimes it's kind of frustrating because we want a little bit more information, right? We want to know, did Joseph had a bad sleep that night? Did he toss and turn? Did he wake up with night sweats? Like, what was going through Joseph's mind that I'm supposed to father a child who's not mine, but is from the Holy Spirit? How does that work? But there's freedom in the simplicity where when Jesus speaks or when God speaks, his people respond in obedience. See, Joseph had a plan. He was a good man. He was a just man, a tender man. He was willing to quietly divorce Mary and move on with his life. But God came to him, spoke to him, commanded him to take Mary as his wife and to call the baby Jesus. And by doing this, by this faith, ushering in the Redeemer of all things, the mediator between God and man, Joseph had this attitude of not my will, but yours. Not my plan, but your plan. There's this submission to the authority and the supremacy that God has in our lives. For those who call themselves Christians, we should have the same attitude of not my will, but yours. This attitude of daily submitting to not what I had planned for today, but Lord, what do you have for me today? Where do you want me to go today? Who do you want me to talk to today? Who can I share of the hope that I have found in you, that I know that you are a God who saves, and who can I share that hope with today? See, sometimes we feel as though God doesn't speak to us anymore. Maybe a better way to say it is that we don't know what the voice of the Lord sounds like. In the course of our lives, there are constant God-appointed moments where he is speaking to us and he's revealing himself to us, and he has a plan for our lives. These moments are opportunities for the Spirit to mold us into the likeness of Christ and to join him in that mission. See, there's a call, come be with me, I will be with you always. And there's also this invitation to go and join him on the mission of seeking and saving all that which was lost. For those who have a relationship with Christ, we are to follow his example by carrying the hope to the world. Jesus came as a baby so that we can be redeemed and restored back into the Father, so that he can save us from our sins. And in that, we are sent out to carry the hope of salvation where we are planted, in our city, in our homes, in our places of work. So this leads to our sermon in this sentence, that Emmanuel, that God with us, gives us the courage to embrace the calling Christ has on our lives. Because God is with us, we are empowered to carry hope to the world. God still speaks to us today. It might not be through dreams and visions, although that can happen, but he does speak to us through his word, through prayer, through meditation, and even seeking wise counsel. We talked at the beginning of today of the start and the end of Matthew earlier. You know, for those who belong to Jesus, we have given the mission to carry hope, and that I will be with you always, and you go and make disciples of all nations. And we're given the promise that he will be with us always, and we can hold on to that promise, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. See, we can see an exemplary faith in Joseph's life. He controls the impulse, the natural impulse, to protect his honor and just to do what he saw what was right, just what he thought was the correct course. But instead of doing what he thought was right, he trusted the Lord And then by doing so, he takes a unique place in history of the story of redemption and being Jesus' human father. Because of his faith, he knows the Lord as Emmanuel and as Savior. And may we be a people who trust and obey when we hear from the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you have come and that you have made yourself known and that you dwell among your people as a baby boy. Thank you that you, in your name, we can find the promise that you are with us, you'll never leave us, and that in your name, your purpose is to come and save your people from their sins. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in the room tonight or today who has never put their faith in Jesus, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll stir in them of what it means to have a relationship with you, that through you, we can have forgiveness of sins and thus be in a relationship with you. And Lord, we know that you have come, but there's other hope that you will be coming again. And Lord, give us courage to embrace the mission that you have called us until you come and take us home. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to know who you are and to join you on your mission. In your name I pray, amen. We believe when the word of the Lord is preached that it always demands a response. And we call those next steps around here. And we encourage everyone to take a next step of what the Lord is leading you to do or how you can apply what you have learned or heard today. And I have a couple of suggestions, but if you have your own, we would love to know what that is and walk with you and pray and encourage you as you take that step of faith of following Christ. You may be here today, and today's the day that you have put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time. We would love to walk alongside, to let you know how you could put that into practice, to give you some tools and things that you can do to where you're able to start that relationship with Christ today. Or maybe you're here and you're committing to share the hope found in Emmanuel with a person this week. And I encourage you to write a person's name that you are committing to share the hope of that Jesus has come, but not only has he come, but that he will come again. And he will come and take us home to where we could be with him forever in heaven. Or you might be here today and you want to commit to walk in obedience to what the Lord is leading you to do.